Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us for the show today. Don't forget, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m., the live show. You can often catch the replay at 3 o'clock as we get into the spring and baseball season. We do get preempted a bit in the 3 o'clock hour, but we're also available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts. That's a great way to access our show and podcast in general. Also, SoundCloud as well. And no matter how you're listening, glad you're with us. I know lots of you are with us daily. Appreciate that, again, listening live or recorded or podcast, however you may be. Let's jump into the show today because we've got a lot to get to. We are inching closer to another Indiana game, and each one of these games so very important for this Indiana team. And everybody right now, everybody listening, I'm sure if you're an Indiana fan, has the same objective, and that is to see this team despite how frustrating or how mad you might get or how maybe even anti-coaching staff you are at this point, I don't know, is to see this team get to the NCAA tournament to break the trend of the last few seasons. Obviously, it's not good for the state of basketball in our state when Indiana does not make the NCAA tournament. So this road game at Minnesota is a game against another team that's near the bottom of the conference, that's had some struggles this season. I feel like a broken record when I talk about some of these Big Ten opponents that Indiana has, whether it's at home or on the road, because Minnesota, if you go back and break it down on a game-by-game basis, they've had even some segments throughout this year where they've been pretty good, and then other times not so good, a lot like Indiana. So we'll talk some about that game today and, of course, getting closer to that contest coming up very soon, and lots to get to. Some high school games tonight as we get toward the back end of the season, as we are. There's more weeknight games, trying to slide some of them in, and I'll probably jinx every athletic director listening or in the area by saying this, but knock on wood, there have been great weather as far as when it comes to no postponements and keeping everything on schedule. Very few, if any, postponements this year. Very little snow, to be quite honest. I think most schools maybe have had, what, 1 2-hour delay and maybe one day off, I think, for area school systems. So far, as we enter the final, what, 12 days or so of the month of February, things holding pretty good. It can get wild for high school stuff this time of year if there have been a lot of cancellations. There already are a number of weeknight games, Tuesdays, a little bit Thursdays occasionally, but it can get really crazy if athletic directors are trying to find open dates to fit in games, especially games like conference games and rival games that really need to be made up. So big night. We'll go through the schedule. We'll tell you some of the activity across the area tonight, all coming up here in just a bit. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday. We'll take a look at some IU stuff, some bracketology stuff, what Archie Miller had to say last night here on the Big X on his coach's show, the high school schedule for tonight, a few other high school notes and some other tidbits as well coming up here in segment one, brought to you by Zaxby's. Later in the show, always fun on Tuesdays to have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, today we're going to talk IU, obviously. We're going to talk Indiana's chances for the NCAA tournament, obviously, but we're also going to talk some Devontae Green. Remember, Greg is the one that had the question. It was actually aired live on the Big Ten Network. I really enjoy it most of the time, unless they're going right from an early Big Ten game to a doubleheader, to back end of a doubleheader that night. They'll play the postgame, at least some, especially of the coaches' interviews, and occasionally you'll get some of the player Q&As in the postgame pressers as well. And remember, Greg had that question. I heard it live where he asked Devontae Green about, hey, and I'm paraphrasing here, but where are you sometime? You know, you have some huge games like what he had that night against Iowa when this question came his way. And then, of course, follow it up or have games previous to that where you don't show up. And some people really got on Greg about that. But we'll talk with him about that, and we'll talk about Devontae Green and his role on this team and the crazy ups and downs that are Devontae Green and really are this Indiana basketball team when Greg is with us a little bit later in the hour, presented by Coffee Crossing. And then we'll wrap up today. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he joins the program. We'll talk more IU. We'll get you ready for IU Minnesota and dig into that a little bit deeper here later today. That's the show lineup. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $20 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bones while supplies last, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Got a question for Greg Doyle, a question for Mike Pegram, a comment you'd like to have read on the air. We'll get to as many as we can. You can tweet them to me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can also find the show on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave us a message there as well. Perhaps it'll get used on the air today. Let's dive in to our Zaxby's headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Bracketology continuing. Normally Monday and Tuesday you get lots of updates coming out of the weekend in college basketball. And Andy Bottoms, who does a really good job and has been really accurate, really close on a lot of his brackets, who's been on the show before, actually does his bracket now on Inside the Hall. It's become a pretty popular feature. And he has, no real surprise, I don't think, he has Indiana still in the tournament at this point. He has them as an 11th seed playing in Tampa. They would open against, believe it or not, in Andy's bracket, Marquette, a 6th seed, and, of course, a team that Indiana played in a closed exhibition game very early, or really to start this season. And, of course, this is all changing with each day, with each win, with each loss. You get closer to in or out if you're Indiana. And as they make their way now, at least in his bracket, I did not see Joe Lenardi's this week. But as you make it, I don't even know if he's come out with it yet this week. But as you make your way to Indiana down to a number 11 seed, really they're hovering on that line now where a loss or a couple small things happen and Indiana can find themselves out of the tournament on the bubble list or the first four out or whatever it may be. So Indiana there right now, I don't think that surprises any of us, but the big question is with road games ahead, with some tough opponents ahead, and with how this Big Ten Conference has treated Indiana so far this season, can they find a way to hang on to a high seed, or I guess I should say a low seed, in the NCAA tournament. So we'll keep an eye on that, as I know all Indiana fans doing right now. Also, last night, the Inside IU Basketball Show, hosted by Don Fisher with IU coach Archie Miller here on the Big X Sports Radio. Archie Miller talking about this week being a roller coaster for Indiana. I don't think there's any surprise in him using that terminology. Talking about Indiana's win over Iowa, where Devontae Green and many others stepped up to have a very formidable opponent's formidable game against a quality opponent in Iowa. Despite Luka Garza, 38 points in that contest, Indiana still able to hang on for the victory. Miller said that when he looked at the stat sheet for that game, the stat sheet showed a very aggressive team against Iowa, that is, a team that won the rebounding battle and a team that earned a lot of trips to the free throw line. When he switched opening the show talking about the Michigan game, he called the team much less aggressive, especially on the defensive end. And this was interesting. Miller said Sunday was one of Indiana's best road efforts in terms of not shooting themselves in the foot, talking about Indiana's low turnovers and effective offensive play, but did talk about how Indiana did get carved up a lot by Michigan's offense. Said some of that was poor defense on IU's part. Other, just the fact that Michigan's offense is really good and was especially really good on Sunday. So interesting comments, always interesting from Archie Miller. I try to make it weekly when I can tune in to hear what he has to say for a guy that doesn't say a whole bunch when you've got him for, what, 30, 40 minutes out of the hour. Normally they have a player guest as well that joins the show. You're able to get some real comments and some real Q&A with him from fans and Don Fisher, who, of course, anchors the program as well. On Monday, I always recap some of the big high school stuff over the weekend. I also use that as an opportunity to catch up with what some IU signees or IU recruiting targets from across the state are doing, what they are getting accomplished. And one guy that I've left off my list a few times, probably because he's way up in South Bend in northern Indiana, is a player named Blake Wesley, who plays at South Bend Riley High School. He obviously has an offer from Indiana, a current junior in the class of 2021, but he has had a really big season for Riley in South Bend. 35 points last week in one game. It was an overtime loss to Crosstown South Bend Washington. They lost 73-67. Then he had 29 points as Riley beat New Prairie 66-61 in overtime. He is averaging just over 27 points per game this year and has another big week of games ahead. I think he's got three games this coming week for his South Bend Riley team. So Blake Wesley, a name that is, I think, very much high on Indiana's radar. He's been to Indiana multiple times, holds an offer from the Hoosiers. Again, we probably don't talk about him as much as Trey Kaufman or Christian Lander. I don't know that he's at that level, to be honest. Maybe a step behind those guys, but Northern Indiana as well takes him out of the picture, at least for us a little bit. But he has had a terrific season and someone that Indiana, I know, continues to track very closely. Also, IU women's basketball, they suffered a loss earlier this week. I believe it was to Ohio State as they've dropped a little bit on Sunday, the loss. However, they're still ranked in the Associated Press top 25. They're now number 24 when the poll came out yesterday, and that is as low as this team has been this year. That's their worst ranking in the poll so far this season. So it continues to be a really good year for Indiana women's basketball. Obviously, they've had a few slip-ups in the conference here recently, but continuing to be a solid year for Indiana, led by Allie Patberg, who was Miss Basketball, who played her high school basketball at Columbus North. But a good year for the IU women, and it'll be fun to track them into the postseason. I think everyone hopes Indiana men, Indiana women, both there, but the women will be there. I think they're locked in for sure. Indiana's men, obviously, still fighting away, trying to get there. One other note, I wanted to mention this. I'm not a North Carolina fan. I do like Roy Williams. I think he's a personable guy. I got to meet him a couple times when he was in town recruiting Romeo Langford, just a very down-to-earth guy that you can easily have a conversation with. And when you meet somebody or you follow somebody, you probably watch their scores or games a little closer than others. But I feel bad for Coach Williams. North Carolina obviously is not the typical North Carolina program. Some of that's because of injuries maybe earlier this year, but a lot of it is they're just not the North Carolina team at that level that we are used to seeing from a program like UNC. They blew a 15-point lead last night and lost on basically a last-second shot, a couple seconds, I think, on the clock, 1.8 or something like that, when the shot went in by Notre Dame to take the lead to knock them out. But they have lost three of its past four games, has North Carolina, on last-second shots. I think Duke was one of them. I forget the other two that have been in that mix with Notre Dame and Duke. But just some very tough losses, and it seems like, I don't know if I either see the highlights on SportsCenter or I just happen to turn the game on when I get home in the evening and it happens to be the last few minutes and that's what I watch. But there have been some very, very tough moments for this North Carolina program and for Coach Williams, who are used to being winners. And it's not exactly what you expect to see. But you lose three or four games on last-second shots, that could really take the wind out of your sails. And I'm sure it's a different feeling right now in Chapel Hill for that North Carolina program. Got some high school notes, but we'll save those for a little later in the program. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll head to a break. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next, presented by Coffee Crossing, Devontae Green, IU, and a lot more with Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. They want to invite you and everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany. They've turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, with us on Tuesdays. And Greg, as we head into another Indiana game coming up here very soon, is Indiana on the road at Minnesota. This team is desperately trying to hang on and find a way to get to the NCAA tournament after a great win and a wonderful performance by Devontae Green last week against Iowa at home. A very dismal effort, especially defensively on the road Sunday at Michigan, and this Indiana team lost badly as they get ready for Minnesota now. Indiana is truly a roller coaster. Archie Miller said that last night on his very own radio show, and that's truly, I think, what you could say this season has been for the Hoosiers, maybe the last couple seasons for Indiana.
Yeah, and maybe even the season that cost Tom Crean his job. It's weird how the same issues that plagued Crean, which are, you know, a team that doesn't really seem to care a whole lot and a team that can't defend, are plaguing this one. And it kind of makes you wonder, is there something about coming to IU where, because the tradition is so great, and yet the players that come here aren't, you know, 12 McDonald's All-Americans. Like, you know, Duke has a tradition, and Carolina and Kentucky. Of course, Carolina's a bad example this year, but they then bring in, you know, 7 McDonald's All-Americans, 7 future pros, and it really doesn't matter how much they try because they're better than everybody else. Guys come to Indiana with all that tradition, and you can't, but they're not that great, and you wonder, do they come here not realizing that you haven't arrived yet and you're not good enough just to roll the ball out there and be good? I don't know. I might be making too much of it, but it's just very strange to me that you almost wouldn't even tell, except for the offense looking different. It's the same problems with both coaches.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest here on this Tuesday. Indiana is going to be, I mean, I guess if there's a positive to this, and this is from maybe a fan perspective, I don't know, the rest of the way, every single game is truly a must-win game. And you hear that term so often in sports or in a conference race or whatever the situation may be, NCAA tournament race to get to the tournament. Oh, this is a must-win game tonight. And it's, I feel like it's just simply an overused term. And I hate when I use it on this program. But last year, as we approached this part, the middle of February, the last week and a half or so of February through the rest of the season, the end of the conference play, and this year as well, I don't know any way around describing these upcoming Indiana games and a couple that have already happened now as must-win games, must-win opportunities for this Indiana team if they're going to get to the tournament.
Yeah, and the games on the road, are a couple of them, are more must-win even than home, just because if you're going to pick, obviously you want to win them all, but if you're going to pick which ones they really need, they need some road wins. As they slide closer and closer to the bubble, and they're there right now, you know, something has to differentiate in terms of, for the selection committee, well, who do we pick? And assuming they're tied with the team or almost tied with the team that has won anything outside of its home arena, that's the team that you pick because the tournament's not played at your home arena. IU hasn't proven it can win anywhere but Assembly Hall. Nebraska doesn't count. They got to beat somebody good on the road, or it really doesn't matter what happens at home.
Greg Doyle with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I want to talk Devontae Green, and that's a familiar subject on this show because, my goodness, sometimes he absolutely is a star and does amazing things, and other times you wonder where he's at, or if you're watching the same player, for example, from the Iowa performance he had to the Michigan game on Sunday, you wonder if you're watching the same guy play. I watched the Iowa game on the Big Ten Network, and I left the television on, was at the desk doing some work, getting ready for the show the next day, and the press conference is on, and Devontae Green's taking some questions, and I hear Greg Doyle's voice. So I actually stop what I'm doing and pay a little closer attention to the postgame presser. And you could tell us more about your exact question. I don't have it verbatim in front of me, but you took some heat from people I know on social media and maybe otherwise for a question to Devontae Green. But I thought it was a question that, given the ups and downs and how great the ups are and how bad the downs are, was a pretty fair question.
Well, it's the question that defines not just his season or his career, but it really has defined this IU season. You know, a team is a team, and no one player, although I'm about to make this maybe not true, at least in my own words, you don't blame any one player or credit any one player for any one thing, but when you're really close to winning a lot of games, and you don't, when you've got one guy that, you know, doesn't, one guy that's capable of giving you 15 or 20 every night, and he does sometimes, and when he does, you win, and when he doesn't, you tend to lose. They wouldn't be on the bubble right now if Devontae Green didn't deserve the question that I asked him, which is, and what I asked him is something along the lines of Devontae, because he had a great game, and everybody's asking him questions, and they're just loving him, and I like him, but at some point I thought, this is enough, you know. Devontae, so I kind of warned him in advance, Devontae, I'm coming at you from a different angle here. When you don't have a game like this, where do you go? And then I said, for example, in case that wasn't clear, I said, you know, for example, the Purdue game, because the Purdue game is before Iowa. He scored 3 points. So he goes three against Purdue, 25 against Iowa, three against Michigan. Those are three games in a row. And that's typical. And anyway, where do you go? People didn't like that. So then he said, well, would you elaborate? And I said, okay, I'll elaborate. I basically said, I mean, I told him, you're an NBA skill. You have NBA skill. You're too good to have games where you score 3, 2, 1 points. Why does that keep happening? And then he gave me an answer. People didn't like the tone. They didn't like the question. People are soft. People, and not everybody. I got a lot of IU fans. I had IU coaches, two of them, thanking me for that question because they say, we tell him this every day in practice. Maybe he'll listen to you. And they were serious. Not that I'm going to solve their problems, but just that they can't get through to Devontae that you can't do this. So I had IU coaches, I had IU administrators reaching out to me when they saw the heat I was getting, saying, hey, we love the question. It was very fair. The irony is that people that treat these athletes like superstars, you know, they put them on a pedestal. They spend a lot of money to watch their games, and I get that. You spend a lot of money to watch games. You follow them on Twitter. You want their autographs. You know, you look up to them. All that's cool, but you can't have it both ways. What you can't do is treat them like something that big, and then when they're not very good, get mad at me because they're just kids. Well, if they're just kids, then you're creepy for giving them that much attention. But they're not just kids. They're grown men. Devontae Green's 23 years old. God, I mean, he's older than, like, NBA All-Stars. He's 2 years older than Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is 20, can't even buy a drink in this country. Devontae, he's 23. He's just a kid. He's not just a kid. He's an IU senior captain. You know, this isn't a kid at Mount St. Francis or, you know, name some small school, the Citadel. But this is a kid at IU, okay? He's going to score 1,000 career points. He's not scared of me. So I don't want to hear from people that it's too soft and yada, 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 or that it was too hard and yada, 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 because people, I mean, you can think that all you want. You can also think 2 + 2 = 7. In both cases, you're wrong.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff. I appreciated the question. I guess with Devontae Green, the frustrating thing is you see, and you said it best, I think, in your setting up your question or elaborating on your question, you know, you have NBA skill. Not only is this a guy that's a scorer that can get hot, that has some great moves at times, that you know, can really distribute the ball at other times, this is a guy that has true skill. He's, I mean, obviously his brother Danny Green is in the NBA, was courtside for the game that you asked this question afterwards. But I think that is what is so frustrating. He's not just a guy coming out occasionally having a big game or filling a big role for the team. He legitimately has the skill, but there's absolutely zero consistency with him. And that's one thing when you're an underclassman or even a junior. But when you're a senior and this is your team and the team often goes in big games as you go, it can be ultra frustrating for fans, and I'm sure I can't even imagine for coaches around it every day.
And here's what's great, really great, and I want people listening to actually pay attention to this part because this is going to, I mean, it ought to blow you away. And if you're mad at me, it ought to end it right now. Listen to this very carefully. The question I asked Devontae was, you know, word for word, where do you go? Where do you go? 10 minutes later, this is before Archie speaks to us. So Archie hadn't spoken to us yet. 10 minutes later, Archie comes into the press conference room and is asked all these glowing questions about Devontae. And if you read Archie's transcript and you listen to that press conference, he spent as much time down on Devontae as up. For the same reason I was asking the question, because he's like, he's too good for this to not happen all the time. And then he said at one point, he goes, he has games where he is the best player or he's an All-American. And then he goes, and then he has games, and listen to me carefully, people, Archie Miller on his own said, then he has games where you wonder, where did he go? That was the exact question I asked Devontae Green, where do you go? And Archie parroted it, and he didn't hear me, and he didn't take it from me. It's just, that's how obvious it is. But I'm a bad guy for asking a 23-year-old, where did you go? I guess the better thing, and so people may move the goalposts. Well, you shouldn't. He's a kid. Don't do that. No, he's not a kid. Okay, well, you wouldn't ask a Purdue player that. Well, guess what? 1 week earlier, I asked Purdue's Aaron Wheeler, where do you go? And I put that in my story. You can go Google that and find it. So, yes, I would ask a Purdue player. They move the goalposts some more. Yeah, well, don't ask him that after a win or a big game. Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is when he has a game where he scores zero and they lose by 12, that's when you want me to say, hey, Devontae, where do you go? You want me to blame the loss on him? It's probably easier to handle a question like that after a win than a big loss. And furthermore, IU doesn't make players available when they score 0 points in a loss. They don't bring that kid in. So move the goalposts all you want, whoever's mad at me. The bottom line is this. You can't handle the players that you look up to being asked tough questions, which makes me think you're kind of creepy if you look up to them that much, but they're not adults. Which one is it? You can't have both ways.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff. And
I mean, you can tell I'm mad about this, but I'm mad about this. Like, this is my job. It's my entire job, my entire profession, my entire business, the way I define myself. It's damn near my entire life. And I got people telling me I'm doing it wrong, and we're not speaking the same language. Because the thing is, the folks that are defending, and I get fans being fans. I get it. Just, you can't have it both ways. People are treating this or any argument in the world, they're not treating it like a jury or a judge, a jury. They're treating it like a prosecutor. Whatever the facts are that they like, they use those facts. Whatever the facts are that they don't like, they don't use those facts. So they're talking to me from that angle, like, hey, here's all the facts that I like. You're wrong. But I'm the prosecutor and the defense attorney. I got all the facts. I got them on both sides, and we're not speaking the same language. It's why in this country you got everybody who likes Trump thinks he's never wrong. Everybody who hates Trump thinks he's never right. Same thing with Republicans, Democrats. My side's always right. Dummy, your side's not. Nobody's always right. Their side's always wrong. Dummy, nobody's always wrong. Their side isn't always wrong. The whole thing kills me. People are talking their language, thinking I'm going to understand what I don't understand what you're saying, because 2 + 2, it's not 7, not tomorrow either.
I love it. Greg Doyle ranting. I love it. It's good. But I agree with you wholeheartedly on the Devontae Green thing. And I'm not surprised that you get beat up on, especially on social media, over something like that. That's just kind of, as you said, the way of the world. One other quick thing on Devontae before I move to another subject and we close up today. And this is, I think, apparent just listening to Archie Miller's comments, maybe even some of Devontae Green's, but specifically what Archie has to say, because he's asked about Devontae so much, either because he had a huge performance like against Iowa, or he disappeared and wasn't around at all in a game. But I would love to know on the inside. I think if there's one question I could ask an assistant coach that they would truly answer, I would love to know what the relationship with Archie Miller and Devontae Green is truly like. It has to be one that is up and down and everywhere in between almost on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I don't know that answer. I don't know. I do know that this has been going on for 3 years. Just, you know, in Devontae's case, it's been going on for 4 years. I mean, he is what he is. He's very talented. But unlike Troy Williams, who is very talented and had all kinds of NBA skill, but it's so erratic in a stick, but he's 6'7", so he got a chance. Devontae Green's got all kinds of NBA skill, but when you're 6'3", you don't have a chance, not if you're inconsistent. So Devontae's been driving everybody nuts at IU for 4 years. I remember 2 years ago, Archie was a freshman coach here, first year. Devontae was a sophomore. I one time, as the game was rolling on, and the game ended in a way that I didn't write this story, but, you know, as the game goes on, you have a bunch of different column ideas in your head on deadline. You better pick one fast and go. One of my ideas, and I was keeping notes during the game, was just to write a whole story about Devontae Green and Archie Miller. and how when Devontae does this, Archie does that. Because when Devontae's good, I mean, Archie doesn't celebrate much. But when Devontae does his silly stuff, which he does all the time, watching Archie is hilarious because he has no poker face when it's bad news. I mean, he's just flopping over there. I mean, he's signing Thor's arms in frustration. I mean, he's turning his head, covering his eyes. He can't believe what he's watching from Devontae Green. And he had one of those moments, by the way, against Michigan with Justin Smith. I don't know if you saw this, but Justin Smith, and I tweeted out a little video of it. It's a small little video. It's hard to see, but Justin Smith has the ball on the block, you know, 12 feet from the basket. They're way down, so they can't take forever to shoot, but there's still like 15 seconds of shot clock, and he shoots a fading away double pump crap shot that banks in. I mean, just an absolute prayer, but with time on the shot clock. And Archie's watching this. He's on one knee watching it. The ball goes in, and Archie drops his head like, I'm so embarrassed by that. And it went in. So Archie, when players mess up, just look at Archie real quick. He'll let you know.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Two quick things, and then I'll let you go. And always appreciate your opinions, and you liven up the show, Greg. You told us this was coming. It's out now. I have not read it fully yet. I clicked on it this morning. The 1930 Washington Hatchet, so a little Southern Indiana connection. The first integrated state basketball champions. Now, I thought it was going to be in Indiana. It's in U.S. history. And a very interesting story. Promo it a little bit so people will click it and read it.
Yeah, nobody knows that story. I mean, a few people know, but very few people know. Even in Washington, a guy named David DeJernet, he had the KKK threatening him. Like he was playing in the state tournament despite being told, you're going to get killed if you play in the tournament. So the KKK was all over him, and he played anyway. They dominated the game back then because back then, after every basket, there was a jump ball. That's why the scores were so low. It's one of the reasons. There was literally a jump ball after every basket. Well, guess what? Washington High had a 6'4" kid, which in 1930 was huge, who could jump higher than everybody else. They had the ball. I mean, they played keep away. So they won a state title and almost won two others. And nobody knows that story, the first integrated. I mean, I've become a student of history in this state about basketball, among other things. And I'm embarrassed it took me 5 years to find that one out. I had no idea. I'd never even heard of Dave DeJernet. Didn't even like, oh, yeah, the name rings a bell. No, it didn't ring a bell. Never heard of him. And it's not just me. I was at Washington High walking through the hallways, taking pictures of the team photo and whatnot. And a guy comes walking down the hall and, you know, what are you doing? And he's looking at the photo too. And he goes, and I told him the story. He goes, really, that's the story behind that team? Yeah. He goes, I walk this hall every day. I didn't know that story. Well, who are you? I'm the president of the Booster Club. Didn't know the story. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Final thing.
By the way, yeah. Sorry, one more thing. The story is interesting also because the guy then moved to Indianapolis. David DeJernet had lived a tragic life. So, yes, what happened? The story is not – in fact, what happened in 1930 is about one-fifth of the story. What brought him to the Washington High, what happened to him in life later, you know, it's all very, very interesting.
Greg, final topic for you. Curious your thoughts. I really enjoyed – the NBA All-Star game. I didn't see the full thing, but the second half. But specifically,
good for you.
Specifically that fourth quarter.
Good for you.
What do you think?
You know where I'm going? Good for you, Matt.
No,
good for you.
I don't know where you're going.
I hate the NBA All-Star game. I don't care.
What about the ending? That's my question, the ending of it.
You know what? You got to get me to watch the beginning to make me watch the ending.
Okay, fair enough.
If I'm not turning the TV on, I'm not going to see the ending, and I don't care. They've earned that. They've earned that for 40 years by making that game a joke. And so, so this year I'm supposed to tune in? This year I was asleep. And I woke up the next morning and saw the highlights, and that was great. I mean, I'm not telling you I don't know what happened. I know what happened. But if you're asking me to invest 3 hours, the first 2 hours and 40 minutes of which are complete crap, as a basketball purist, you want me to watch that just so they can finally care for the last 7 minutes? Good for anybody that liked that stuff. The hell with that.
Yeah, I understand. That's why we never talk it, never watch it. But was curious about the ending, and the reason is because that $2 million tournament, when we're all desperate for basketball in the summer, they use that Elam ending, which we've talked about some and had some fun with. And, of course, it's very similar or basically the same format, except they had a set figure, 24 points, in honor of Kobe Bryant. So that was my interest, and I think it has some merit to it. I'm not sure it's anything we'll ever see mainstream leagues or games change to, but I definitely thought it added a little twist.
But have you heard, do you know that the Elam guy, it's a person.
Yeah.
Do you know where Elam, do you know where he came from?
He's at Ball State now. I don't know originally where he's from. Is he an Indiana guy originally?
Well, I don't know originally, but yeah, he's a Ball State professor. It's just so cool how even the stuff I don't like, the big deal stuff in basketball, it's all about Indiana, right? I mean, they got a Ball State professor who came up with that ending. So that's kind of cool. And by the way, I know people get sensitive. I wasn't down on you when I said, good for you, Matt. That was just my way of expressing disdain.
If you don't know in 2 or 3 years of all these weekly segments that I'm not an NBA guy, I mean, that's just not at all. So that was a rarity for me to turn it on. I turned it on literally because of the ending. I wanted to see it as a basketball guy, what it was like. So, no offense taken. I'm just glad we caught you on a day and got some great rants, man. The ratings go up when you rant on my show. So, thank you.
Yeah, well, have fans come after me again for doing my job in a fair way, and I'll rant for them.
No, keep working hard, Greg. I'm your biggest fan.
My man. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. They want to invite everyone to their newest location, downtown New Albany. They're turning, or they have turned, their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. And, of course, Greg Doyle, a lot of fun. You never quite know. I never quite know, no matter how many notes or what I think we're going to talk about, never quite know in advance exactly how things are going to go. But I know one thing. I am sure glad that he's with us Tuesdays here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. More on Indiana and Minnesota, the Hoosiers' next game. We'll also talk more about the rest of the way for this Indiana team as far as NCAA tournament eligibility goes. Stay with us for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Tuesday edition of the show. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us, as always, to talk IU basketball and more. And we are a day away, tomorrow night, Indiana at Minnesota, from the Hoosiers' next contest. And, Mike, two teams with identical records as far as the conference goes. Minnesota has been in on a tough stretch themselves. They have lost two straight, and they've lost four out of their last five contests. Most recently, they lost 83-77 at Penn State. And then the last game against Iowa, 58-55 the score. That was a home game for Minnesota. Your thoughts on this game? Minnesota's a team like Indiana that finds themselves pretty far down in the conference standings right now with their backs against the wall, needing some wins here to close the month of February.
Yeah, it's almost like Minnesota and Indiana and maybe Purdue in that mix are fighting for that last NCAA tournament berth right now from the Big Ten. Because bracketology seems to be kind of trending towards maybe 10 Big Ten teams get in, at least four out, and with Nebraska and Northwestern are definitely out. Indiana has to leapfrog a couple teams in the eyes of the tournament committee. And they have two games with Minnesota left, and they have this game tomorrow. It's pretty close to a must win, or at least a win that kind of prevents them from having to really rescue the season in an unlikely fashion at the end like they had last year.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, Minnesota has been a program in recent seasons, especially this year. I'm just scrolling through their schedule as we're talking, where they've had some good segments where they've put some wins together, maybe beat someone they shouldn't, and then they'll go on a streak where things aren't so good. Not just as Indiana maybe competing with Minnesota, and you mentioned Purdue as well, for the final spot in the tournament from the Big Ten Conference, but some very similar seasons, not just conference records, but kind of the way the conference part of the schedule has went for both teams.
Yeah, they have some really good players, but the depth is questionable. a little bit like Indiana, and you know, they have a really good big man, and that's where your defense has to start. But unlike Indiana, they have a reliable three-point threat in Gabe Kelshar at guard, and a very, you know, a pretty effective point guard, Marcus Carr, who's also can score pretty heavily too. It's almost 16 points a game, and but that, you know, they're a team that's, you know, a little bit like Indiana in a rut, lost at home to Iowa, and you know, I think they've lost 4 out of 5, and so therefore they might be questioning themselves. So it could get off to a good start, and you know, they may not really react very well to it. I mean, but again, you know the history of in IU in the barn. It's like once every 6 years that they actually win in that place.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Good story on the site for Pegs subscribers from Brian Snow yesterday about Indiana's defensive problems against Michigan, and of those problems, what can change? What are their opportunities to see improvements there this late in the season? And you know, what can truly change for this team with what's left of the season now that we've had such a great portion of the schedule to kind of make judgments from on this team? And I don't expect you to give away the gist of the story, but clearly the defense side of things for Indiana, it just simply can't be the way it was Sunday if this team is going to beat anybody the rest of the way in the Big Ten Conference and have a chance to get to the tournament.
Yeah, they've had a real problem with the high ball screen. A big man maybe hedges a little bit high, and then the recovery is not good. You know, that big man doesn't have time to get down and save the layup, which happened a lot against Michigan, or a tag man doesn't rotate, or just a lot of fundamental things that they don't execute very well. I mean, Indiana has not been as good defensively, Matt, as we thought this season, and that's been a real problem of late, as we learned in Michigan on Sunday. And if they don't get this fixed, the season, you know, is kaput. So that's been a season-long issue. As you've seen, I think that Indiana plays three central post players, which is really unusual. And sometimes that can present some defensive issues.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Don't forget to check out the Pegs.com website. That's Pegs.com. Tons of IU content, discussion forums, very active, as you can imagine, this time of the season. Do you think, Mike, if you were breaking this team down for the rest of the way, looking at what has to change, what must change, is defense the number one thing that could make or break this team as far as their NCAA hopes go?
Yeah, that's a starting point. I mean, there are three or four things, Matt, that has to get better. Their MO, their identity is scoring inside and getting fouled, and rebounding kind of goes along with that. And when they don't play well, it's because those things went awry, and that's, again, what happened on Sunday. But they also need to guard. We didn't think that was going to be an issue, but it has become one. So all those things have to kind of happen at once for them to play well, to beat a good team. And it does happen from time to time. The shooting is obviously another X factor for this team, because it really doesn't have good shooters in at least in quantity. So it's a lot of things. I mean, I watched this team on Sunday, Matt, and I'm thinking, this is not an NCAA tournament team.
Right.
But, you know, against Iowa, they did for the moment look like it. But too many times, just shake your head and say, this team doesn't look like what it needs, what an NCAA team really needs to look like.
Mike, I've got a question here for a listener to close things out today with you. And this is something that has come up from time to time. In fact, I'm pretty sure a year ago, near this time, we were talking about, and even going back to when Romeo was a senior and Indiana was struggling at the end of the year, how that could affect recruiting and Romeo's decision, which obviously would be made later in the spring. But the question is, how do you think some of these bad performances, and how could missing the NCAA tournament again for this program affect recruiting, especially with some of these in-state guys that see this stuff very up close and personal and follow it on a very close basis and have to hear about it from fans and their communities that, you know, gosh, you're considering Indiana, that they got beat again or they didn't make the NCAA tournament again. Is that a huge effect on things? I would think it has to have some negative effect on recruiting.
Yeah, I think it does definitely affect out-of-state recruiting. And maybe kids in northern Indiana are a little bit tougher for Indiana to land. I think that they have a little ground to make up versus the schools closer to the northern Indiana. I'm talking about Purdue and Michigan State and so forth in terms of guys like Blake Wesley and Caleb First. And so, you know, it would have helped, I think, if they have had a season that was obviously going to be 20-plus wins for a while. I don't know if it really affects the southern Indiana prospects, because I think over time, Indiana has always done a pretty good job of convincing those players the benefits of becoming an IU basketball player, both while you're a player and after. But it does affect those, you know, out-of-state kids and maybe the kids who are up closer to some of the really big competition for Indiana.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike always comes on with us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball. And, Mike, thanks for the time.
All right, Matt, we'll see you next week.
That'll just about wrap things up for this Tuesday program. I did want to save a minute for a couple high school notes. Pretty active Tuesday night in high school basketball here in the area. Brownstown at Floyd Central tonight. Clarksville at North Harrison tonight. Christian Academy of Indiana, they are at their rival school in Kentucky. It's Christian Academy of Indiana at Christian Academy of Louisville tonight as well. Silver Creek at Austin, that's another Mid-Southern Conference game for the Dragons. And Charlestown, they will host South Central. If you're looking for a good game to go to later in the week, Jeffersonville will play at Ballard. That game will be played on Thursday night. Don't forget tournament pairings on Sunday. We'll find out with a few weeks in the regular season left who will play who at our local sectionals and sectionals across the state of Indiana. Pairing show Sunday here on the Big X from Indianapolis. We'll carry the pairings live from 3 to 5 p.m. And then Lee Kelly and I will be on from 5 to 7 or so with a local pairing show. We'll have some coaches and others that will join us Sunday to break down the pairings. We'll get the immediate reaction from the coaches and have a lot of fun with that. And I always get asked, Matt, you talk a lot about Seymour. Who do you think can win some of these other sectionals? Well, obviously, locally in 3A, Silver Creek, the big favorite. I think you got to like Providence's chance in 2A. Yes, they got beat by Southwestern. Yes, the sectional now is at Southwestern. But I think it's a winnable one for Providence coming up here with the way they're playing. And, of course, Christian Academy of Indiana at the 1A level. Some of the teams I think could win our local sectionals. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Lots more coming your way the rest of the week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.